Reason number six, to be ready with answers. Jesus and the early church used a reasoned approach in sharing the truth. Jesus Christ and the early church used a reasoned approach in sharing the truth. I want you to see, first of all, here, the example of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, even as a 12-year-old, Jesus Christ was giving answers for the PhDs of his day. It says here in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and following. Of course, this is the account when Jesus Christ at 12 stays back in Jerusalem. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding. Notice he's not just asking questions, though, but he's also giving answers. In essence, we could say that he had wisdom beyond his years. So even at 12 years old, he's not just asking questions, but he's also giving answers. Notice also at the end of his earthly ministry, Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, the Old Testament, Genesis and following, and all the prophets, notice Genesis through Malachi, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He gave evidences from the word of God. Also verse 32. Luke 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? What was Jesus Christ doing here? He was opening up their understanding of the scriptures. Also, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 30. Right after Jesus shares the truth of eternal security here in verses 27 through 29. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works, those works, do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? Notice here he's going to Old Testament scripture here. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works. What's he doing here? He's presenting the works, the miracles, as evidence of who he is. Notice here it says, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized and there abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. What's he doing? He's giving evidence of the miracles, or giving the miracles, I should say, as evidence of his person, of his deity. John chapter 14, verse 11. John chapter 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Back in Matthew chapter 11, as John the Baptist was having doubts as he was sitting there in prison, he was doubting some things. We all are capable of that in our moments of discouragement. But in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and following, it says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Here's the evidence. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. What was he doing here? Jesus Christ was giving the evidence of miracles to support the faith of John the Baptist. We also see that Peter and the apostles gave eyewitness testimony in the early church. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 here on the day of Pentecost. We see here that Peter and the other apostles gave eyewitness testimony regarding Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2 verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. We do not see here anyone disputing the miracles that happened. In fact, Nicodemus, even in John chapter 3, recognized the miracles that took place here. Notice he was approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. That was the evidence that Peter gave here regarding Jesus Christ. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, the resurrection, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I forestall the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This is a quote from Psalm 16, verse 10. What's he doing? He's quoting from Old Testament scriptures here regarding Jesus Christ. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Peter and the apostles were giving personal witness of the truth. I also want you to see this in Acts chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Chapter 3 then, verses 14 and 15. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, which God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We are eyewitnesses of his resurrection. Chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 30. As the apostles are now dealing with the Jewish leaders, the leaders in Jerusalem here. Chapter 5 verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. As they were witnessing of these things of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is witnessing with them. Also chapter 10, as Peter is dealing here with the house of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and following. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. They were eyewitnesses of the truth regarding Jesus Christ. I also consider the example of Stephen back in Acts chapter 6. Stephen here, as he's giving a defense of the truth of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. I think here of what Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verses 12 and following here. Jesus Christ said that the answers of the defense of the faith would be given to them by the Holy Spirit of God. Luke chapter 21, verse 12. But before all these, speaking here of the signs of the last days, great earthquakes and pestilences and various things, before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, martyrs for the cause of Christ. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. We see here that there's a protection here, but what I believe what happens here in relation to what Christ is saying in this passage, in this statement to his disciples, the things that they had already learned and prepared, had received from Christ, the Holy Spirit would bring those things back to mind as they were giving a defense of Christianity, the truth of Christianity. But again, we see that Stephen disputed with unbelieving Jews in the synagogues. Also, we have the example of the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts, we see that the Apostle Paul used different approaches depending upon the knowledge of the Word of God. He used different approaches depending on their knowledge of the Scriptures. He reasoned from the Scriptures with those who had a knowledge of the Old Testament. After his salvation, after he believed on Jesus Christ, he did a total about-face, a turnaround as far as his position on Christ. And it surprised those of his day. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Total change, a radical transformation. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. I want you to notice a couple words there in verse 22. First of all, it says he confounded the Jews. He confounded them. This word confounded means to perplex a person with whom one disputes. They were perplexed. They did not have an answer from the Scriptures with what he was saying. Also, it says that he was proving that this is very Christ. Proving means to cause to come together, to put together mentally, to prove and demonstrate. What is Paul doing here? He's taking the Scriptures and he's proving from the Scriptures that Jesus Christ is very Christ. Also consider verse 29 then. As he's in Jerusalem, it says he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. It says he disputed with the Grecians. The word disputing here means to teach publicly. It speaks of a discourse. To present intelligent arguments. He's presenting intelligent arguments from the Scriptures. Also notice here Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. As Paul is dealing here with the Jews and the synagogues. Acts chapter 17 verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. It says in verse 2 that he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. The word reasoned means to speak back and forth alternately. Again, there's a discussion back and forth here about Jesus Christ. To converse with. To present intelligent discourse or arguments. He's presenting intelligent arguments regarding Jesus Christ. But also says in verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. The word opening means to open what before was closed. What is he doing? He's using the scriptures and opening what they did not understand. It means to explain and expound from the scriptures. But also the word alleging means to put or place near, to set or lay before someone. He is presenting reasons why they should believe in Jesus Christ. Also verse 16 and 17 of Acts chapter 17. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, those who were religious, and in the market daily with them that met with him. He disputed with them. Again, there was a discussion here. He's teaching here publicly and he's presenting intelligent arguments. Acts chapter 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He persuaded them. He's presenting the truth and moving them or trying to affect them by kind words and motives. The word persuade here means to persuade or convince another to receive a belief. He's presenting the evidence and he's wanting to convince them to receive and believe in Jesus Christ. Also chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 verses 8 through 10. Acts chapter 19 verses 8 through 10 here. Again, we see an example here of the Apostle Paul. It says he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. I believe we also need to do this as far as new converts. Disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia Minor, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Consider also Acts chapter 26, verses 22 and following, as the Apostle Paul gives a defense. Says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, referring to Scripture, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. This is a Greek word, mania, which we get maniac. What's Festus saying? That Paul was a maniac. He had gone insane with his learning, with his education. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. Notice his respectful response. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king, King Agrippa, knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto him, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, but lost. As I think of the hymn, almost persuaded to be a Christian. What's Paul doing here? He's trying to present the evidence. King Agrippa knew of the Old Testament prophets. He's presenting the evidence of Scripture. And King Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Also, Acts chapter 28, verses 17 through 24. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, He said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, Christianity, they saw Christianity as just another religion. Concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Notice a thorough teaching of the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures here. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. So he confronts them about their unbelief. But again, we see here that he's persuading them. He's trying to convince them concerning Jesus out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. So again, we see here that he reasoned from the scriptures with those who had a knowledge of the Old Testament. But he also gave evidences for creation and the existence of God for those who did not know the Old Testament scriptures. Once again, Acts chapter 17. As Paul dealt with the philosophers of Mars Hill, says here in verses 22 and following, Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this, with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein. Notice he starts with creation. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets. Notice he even quotes from one of their poets, have said, For we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. As he presents this evidence, he calls them finally to repentance. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. So he starts with general revelation, creation, and calls them to repentance. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. And we see in verse 34 that some of them believed. Some believed. That's the kind of response we will see, I believe, in this last day. Many will mock, but some will believe as we present the truth. Also, Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. Here we see, again, Paul dealing with an unbeliever. Felix says here in verse 24 of Acts chapter 24, And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, Drusilla was a Jewess, an unbelieving Jewess, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And Paul, reasoned, notice again this reasonable presentation of the truth, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. He was under conviction. And answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Procrastination. There's no evidence that Felix ever came to a knowledge and understanding and a belief in Jesus Christ. But he gave evidences for creation and the existence of God for those who did not know the Old Testament scriptures. I want you to consider also the example of Apollos. Apollos in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 and following. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, the Jewish synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. I want you to see here some things related to Apollos. Apollos is one of my favorite characters in the Bible regarding the study of apologetics. It says in verse 24 that he was an eloquent man. He was eloquent. He had rhetorical skills. It reminds you that he was trained in Alexandria, Egypt, a center of philosophy. So I believe he was eloquent. He had an eloquent presentation of the truth. The Bible also says here in verse 24 that he was mighty in the scriptures. He was thoroughly acquainted with the Old Testament scriptures. It says in verse 25 that he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He, in essence, at some point had received instruction from someone regarding the truth. It says here also that he was fervent in the Spirit. Fervent in the Spirit. The word fervent is the Greek word zeo, means to boil. Romans 12 verse 11 speaks of being fervent in spirit. There needs to be a zeal. We must have a zeal in our presentation of the truth. It says that he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. He was diligent in his teaching of the truth. He was bold in his presentation of the truth. He spake boldly. It says on verse 26, and began to speak boldly in the synagogue. There was a bold presentation of the truth. Romans 1:16 says that Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He had a bold presentation of the truth. Also in verse 26, it says that he was teachable. He was teachable. Aquila and Priscilla had heard him, and it says they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. He did not have complete understanding. He only knew of the baptism of John, as John the Baptist presented Jesus Christ. He did not have the completed story of Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. In verse 27, it says he greatly helped believers. He greatly helped them. It says he helped them much, which had believed through grace. In fact, it's interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that in Corinth, Apollos followed the apostle Paul and watered the seed that Paul had planted. He greatly helped the believers. But it also says in verse 28 that he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He mightily convinced them. The word convince means to overcome thoroughly in disputation. To overcome thoroughly in disputation. What I want to point out here and emphasize is that Apollos used scripture. I do not believe we have a true apologetic unless we are using the scriptures. So many so-called Christian apologists will reason from philosophy, and they barely use the scriptures. That's why I'm emphasizing and using many scriptures in this course. Again, he mightily convinced them using the scriptures. Finally, a seventh reason to be ready with answers. The faith of believers is confirmed. The faith of believers is confirmed with Christian apologetics. want you to see Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples. Notice that statement there. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, notice these pastors were given to strengthen the people in the faith. They had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Also chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verses 30 and following. This is after the Jerusalem Council, in which they dealt with false doctrine that was coming into the churches, especially the Gentile churches. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Now, this is not the Catholic and Protestant practice of confirmation, but they're simply confirming them in their belief, in their faith. And after they had tarried there a space, a while, now they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. Now, after they have a disagreement about taking John Mark on a second missionary journey, notice verse 40 and 41 then. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. I want you to consider also Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul gives an interesting statement here in regard to a defense of the faith. Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. Even as meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Notice now here it says, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. He says here, he speaks of a defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul defended the gospel against its enemies. The word defense here is the Greek word apologia, once again, translated as answers in other places. Paul confirmed the truth also, though, here it says, of the gospel for believers. Paul confirmed the truth of the gospel for believers. It says a defense and confirmation of the gospel. So I want you to see 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 in this context. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Here, speaking to Timothy, Paul says, and continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Learned and assured of the truth, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Learned and been assured of the truth. Paul confirmed the truth of the gospel for believers. Now, as I bring this lesson to a close, I want you to consider this question. Do you understand the importance of being ready with answers? I gave you 7 reasons why I believe it's important for us to be ready and equipped with answers. Do you understand the importance of being ready with answers in these last days of apostasy?